So what's happened with cancer over the first two decades of the 21st century? A century which began with the first draft of the human genome, which promised all kinds of benefits for people with cancer. Fran Boyle is Professor of Medical Oncology at the University in Sydney and President of the Clinical Oncology Society of Australia. Welcome back to the Health Report to you too, Fran.
Good evening, Norman.
So has the Genome Project paid out for cancer?
I think some of the biggest benefits that Henry was alluding to, for instance, in the type of breast cancer and the best way to treat that, probably actually predated the Genome Project and HER2-positive and estrogen receptor-positive breast cancer were things we knew about beforehand. But for many of the more difficult to treat cancers, the Genome Project has really sped them up, in other words. So if you take breast cancer or childhood cancer as the sort of front runners, what they've allowed some of those more rare and difficult cancers to do is to, you know, skip a couple of decades and catch up in terms of matching treatment to the type of cancer.
But the question is, has it improved survival? In the year 2000, the criticism of cancer care was that there really had not been substantial improvements in survival, despite an enormous amount of money being spent, on cancer care. Survival rates, on average, had not improved. Yes, the odd cancer had got better, but not. How are survival rates going overall? Or is it justifying the expense and the amount of research?
It is, Norman, and survival rates are improving. We've just seen the latest data from the Cancer Institute New South Wales, and even for some of the, you know, difficult cancers like pancreatic cancer, survival is improving. But particularly for breast cancer, things have improved dramatically over that time period. And that has come about because of targeted therapies, but also because those therapies are easier to tolerate. And so a real theme of cancer treatment in the last 20 years has been tolerability. How can we reduce side effects? How can we keep people on treatment longer? Because then if they're tolerating the treatment, then their adherence is likely to be better. So that supportive care element is, in a way, just as important as the targeted therapies or the genomics.
Because you're much more likely to complete a course of treatment if there are fewer side effects or you can cope better.
Exactly right. And that means that people you might otherwise not have been able to treat, older people, people with other comorbidities, suddenly they become within the realms of treatable patients when they weren't before.
Have your patients' expectations increased? In other words, they expect more from their care? They expect you to cure everything? I mean, how have expectations changed over the last 20 years?
I think expectations have changed, and thank goodness they have, in terms of the expectation of communication from the doctor and the other staff involved in their care. And over that time, we've seen the growth of the multidisciplinary team approach, now formalised across most cancers, but it did start in breast cancer. And I think the patient engagement in decisions about their care has changed for many patients, and that's a very welcome sign.
But there's still unacceptable variations in outcomes. You could improve the outcome for pancreatic cancer, rectal cancer, esophageal cancer overnight without another dollar spent on medical research by just getting people into the best centres. I mean, I think that you can double the average survival for pancreatic cancer, triple it for rectal cancer. I'm not sure what the data is for esophageal cancer if you just got treated by the right people. How come there are these totally unacceptable variations in Australian cancer care?
That's a great great challenge for the next decade, Norman.
Why do we need to wait 10 years when you and I know right now what the performance is of centres and so on? Why can't we just be... New South Wales is probably one of the best states for this, but other states are really opaque. You don't know where you're going to get the best care. We could do that tomorrow, couldn't we? You'd have to wait 10 years.
Well, you'd have to clone Jad Samra for a start. So some of this is about people who are those spectacular operators.
So you're just referring to a pancreatic surgeon in Sydney is what you're referring to.
A pancreatic surgeon in Sydney who's got better outcomes than most people. And I think it's partly that linkage between not only is the person a good surgeon, but do they know also when not to operate? when is that patient going to go better with chemo and radiotherapy rather than an operation first? So that's a team decision. And one of the silver linings of this year, Norman, is telehealth. And, you know, a lot of barriers could be broken down by including patients from distant or rural sites in a multidisciplinary team meeting like that happened in a centre where spectacular surgeon A, B or C operated, but is supported by a spectacular medical oncologist, radiation oncologist and clinical trials program.
Do you think,
so I think we are hoping that's going to be one of the outcomes from this year.
Much as we love to make a difference. We're running out of time, but much as we love to make surgeons as heroes, your specialty, medical oncology, where you give chemo, is not very transparent. I mean, some of you are better than others, but we don't actually know fully who is the better. You know, some people are giving far too much chemo, some are giving too little, the wrong chemo. I mean, we need just more transparency, don't we? In the next 20 years or the next 1 year?
I'm sure exactly that will happen. And again, in New South Wales, we're better off than in most places because we do get that data from the Cancer Institute. So how you separate the individual from the team that does very well, not easy, but I think it will become more transparent, particularly around complications. You know, who are the people who are making good decisions, let's say, about immunotherapy, not giving that to the wrong people, not giving that to people who are going to expect a high complication rate. And so, again, with melanoma, for instance, you know, we know patients do very well if they come here to the centre of the universe. But then they have to go home to where they're being looked after, and upskilling the health professionals in those areas to take good care of immunotherapy side effects is going to be quite crucial.
Fran, thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Norman. Bye.
Professor Fran Broyle. I'm Norman Swan. This has been the Health Report. We'll see you next time.